Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning in Jesus' name. Happy Mother's Day to those of you mothers who are here with us as well. Thanks for joining us and being taking time out of your special day to be here too. And we are excited more than that to be here to celebrate the resurrection, to celebrate the victory that Jesus won for us on the cross. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the service too, specifically what the Sabbath day is for, why we gather on Sundays. And so I'm excited to share some of those thoughts with you a little bit later, so I won't start preaching right now. If you're a visitor, we're glad you're here. Feel free to sign a blue card that you find in your pews and fill that out and put that in the offering plate as a way for us to get to know you a little bit better. If you have any particular prayer requests that you would like prayed for during the service, fill out a yellow card and hand that to the ushers when they come around later, and they will hand those off to me so that we can pray for them later in the service. I do have some prayer requests that I want to share with you here this morning, and we have a number of people in our congregation who are grieving the loss of loved ones recently. Pray for the Otto and Dryberg families and the loss of Doris here this week. The funeral, visitation funeral was in the last couple of days here, and so keep praying for those families. Pray too for the family of Alexa Young. And if you're on our email prayer chain, you heard about these two situations. And with Alexa being she sadly took her own life here early last week, and has affected several of our youth. And it's just been a tough thing there. And so pray for the Young family, and pray for our youth here too through this difficult time. I believe the funeral for Alexa is tomorrow in Napoleon. And so keep them in prayer. Pray too for the family of Judy Copperood, who died this week, and out in Jamestown. The funeral was a couple days ago, and it's many of you maybe remember Glenn Copperood, a longtime member of our congregation, and that was his sister-in-law. And so pray for the Copperood family through this also. I want to share a praise with you. There was a prayer email that went out this week about Jan Harveland and some health issues, and the results report. There was a significant scare in terms of potentially having a brain tumor, and the results, within the first few hours after we sent that email, the doctor called and let her know that it actually was not cancer and had come back a much more manageable situation that's just going to require a very simple procedure here in a few weeks. And so her and Bud are praising the Lord and thanking God for his provision and for a good report there from the doctor. I'm going to do something here too that is kind of against the rules. It's not fair to sometimes give vague prayer requests without giving specifics and things like that. It can kind of spark curiosity and different things like that. But the reality is this was kind of a hard week for a lot of our people here and a lot of our church family, and some other things going on in the congregation with our families. And I would just encourage you to be in prayer for one another. And that's a major theme that we're going to hear in the sermon this morning too, and how important it is, and how we need to be praying for one another every week, and holding one another up in prayer. I don't know if you've ever noticed, if you look in the bulletin, we do include members of our or regular attenders of our church family every week to be praying for. That's one small way that you can do that. And we never know what's going on in other people's lives and so forth, and so it's good to be doing that, even not in just bad weeks, but in good weeks too. But this was a particularly hard week for a lot of our people, and so. So just be praying for one another. I'd encourage you with that here this week and each week. I have several announcements, and I'm not going to mention all of them because I don't want to take up too much of your time here. But look at the inserts and look at what's going on this Wednesday. There's some different things happening. There's the kids club end of the year party. There's some instructions in there about that. There is no youth group this Wednesday, and so I'm going to cordially invite all of you high schoolers to Bible study. You can come and hang with the adults that night if you want. There's also a church council meeting this Wednesday, and so make a note of that. For those of you to whom that pertains. One other thing, next Sunday, there's a youth dinner and a family game night. People of all ages are invited to this, and we'd love to see you all come out for this. There is a sign-up sheet in the hallway, and I would encourage you to sign up for that so that the youth can have an idea of how much food. I see some youth committee members here. Can you help me to correct me on this. If you don't sign up, can you still come? Please do. Okay, good. All right, so please still come. We still want you to come, but it would help them, as many of us can sign up that are planning to come, just let they know, have a good idea of how much food to bring. So do that. It's going to be a great time, and that's next Sunday at 5 o'clock. There's some information about that as well. Okay, let's see if I got through all this stuff. Oh, Pam, tweet, yeah, she's taking a leave of absence starting tomorrow, we'll say. We'll say you're still on the clock today. And she's got some family events, a graduation and a wedding in her family here, and so it's going to be a busy couple of weeks for her. So she won't be around the office here for the next month. You can pray for the rest of us that might be kind of helpless now that she's going to be gone, and I say that only a little bit jokingly. She really is, we're going to miss her, even for a month. She does a really good job, and we're so thankful for her. But we're glad that she can take some time off here to handle some of these fun, exciting family events as well. There are some volunteer opportunities for you coming up here. Take a look at that. And then I think I'm going to stop talking if there are any other announcements I missed. Okay, then we've got the one other one. So that's Tori. So I'll call on her at this time then.
Thanks for letting me take your time for just a couple more minutes. We have VBS coming up again. I hope you saw our opening table out there. It will be a fun year as always. This year we are celebrating in the safari. So come join us. It will be the last week of June. We have lots of volunteer opportunities and fun time for kids. So even if you're able to just come for one night or two nights or something, let us know. We can plug you in. You can help with games or crafts or hanging out with our young children, walking them from place to place. We will have an Applebus team this year from our school down in the cities. They will be up here doing our main leading, so no teaching this year, just hanging out. But also lots of donations out there. As always, one of our big things is cardboard boxes, being large. We love to create giant fun things. So if you have big cardboard boxes hanging around, please bring them over. We would love to disassemble them and make them into something else. Put this on your calendar and come hang out with us.
It is kind of fun to watch those cardboard masterpieces come together before VBS that week. They do such a great job with that. It becomes, if I dare may even say, a little bit of an internet sensation amongst other congregations. I think it was last year, 2 years ago, I don't know how many requests we had. Can we come and take that from you when you're done with it? But it's a lot of fun. I say that to you because even if you're can't volunteer, if you know kids that you can invite, please do that. Yeah, so a postcard in each of your mailboxes. If you don't have a mailbox and would like one, you can talk to our secretary about that too. But there are extra postcards also. So invite your neighbors and kids, grandkids, anybody that you might know here to come to that. Towards the end of June is when we're having BBS. Okay, if there are no other announcements, then here, let's hear our call to worship. It's from Psalm 100 this morning. It says, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before him with singing, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, give thanks to him, bless his name." Let's stand and sing together our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
You may be seated, and good morning again, and happy Mother's Day. I'll confess that I had a sinful thought last night and in the days leading up to today, because, see, being a father of young kids, the ages that my kids are, I bear the responsibility of not only having to wish my own mother a happy Mother's Day, but also equipping and doing all the work for my kids so that they properly appreciate their Thanksgiving for their mother. And then I've got a couple great grandmothers that I also have to make sure I take the time to appreciate them and thank them. And so my sinful thought was this, that, not one, two, three, four. And I was just struck with how sinful the thought was, because here God was blessing me with godly women in my life, and I was looking at it in such the wrong way. So I repented, and you know, it's true. In a lot of ways, God blesses us, and we are ignorant of it. We take it for granted, and when he brings us to that realization, our proper response should be repentance, and it should be to ask for forgiveness and then to look on those blessings and to give thanks. So let's give thanks this morning for the many ways in which he's blessed us, including the firm foundation that's laid up for us in God's word, which we'll look at this morning. So how firm a foundation, reading from Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." How firm a foundation, number 262 in the Ambassador.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." We'll sing "Thy Word."
Guide and hold me to your side.
Titus 2:13 and 14 says, Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Wonderful, merciful Savior.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You always hunger for, oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace, our hearts always hunger for. Oh,
make a confession to you today. I'm going to follow Hans's lead here and make a confession to you today also. I am not the biggest fan of Mother's Day, and I am in no way anti-mother, okay? I'm very pro-mother. But the reality is that we live in a broken world where not everyone is a mother, and there are many that are in our world that are maybe even here today who would like to be and for a variety of reasons aren't or were but aren't, you know, always once you are you always are, but you have experienced things like death, and there's so many reasons why a day like today, for as good as it is and can be, can also be really hard for different people. And it's important, I think it's okay to acknowledge that today, and it's okay to acknowledge that at this time in the worship service too, and as we get to a confession of sin, and I'm not saying that has anything to do with sin, but it does have to do with brokenness And we live in a broken world. And I, like I referenced earlier, many of you, and well, all of us are guilty of sin, or we've all experienced brokenness in some way, in some form this week. And we need to acknowledge that. And where there's sin, we need to be able to confess that. And that's what this time in the worship service is for now. It's to confess our sin. It's to acknowledge that we live in a broken world, that we are a broken people, that all is not right with this world, to put it very simply. And so I would invite you to do that with me and to take part in this part of the worship service. You'll find the confession of sins printed in your bulletin. It'll also be on the screen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to confess to you that we have grievously sinned and fallen short of your glory. We have not loved you above all things or our neighbor as ourselves. We confess these and other sins to you and look to you in faith for your forgiveness and cleansing. Grant to us your mercy and grace and help us to live our lives in the way that most honors you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Whatever it is that you are struggling with today, whether it be sin in your life that needs to be repented of, if it's brokenness and the weight of that that you've been carrying for this week or for many years even, I want to read these words to you, and I want you to hear them. It's from Revelation 21. It says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that good news? And then listen to this. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. That's the promise we have for all the brokenness in this world, sin and otherwise. We have a promise here that God makes all things new. He says, write this down. These words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. There is abundant and free forgiveness found in the blood of Jesus shed for you. There is cleansing and healing and life found in Christ and in Christ alone. And that gives us peace today for all of our troubles. Amen. This time I'm going to call on Mark Sletten to read our scripture.
Our New Testament lesson is found in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. Please rise for reading God's word. Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne and shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The gospel lesson is found in John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. John 10, beginning with verse 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Here ends the reading.
Let's join together as Christian brothers and sisters, confessing our faith, saying, "This is what we believe," using the words of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen." You may be seated. This time I'll call on the ushers to wait upon us. Thank you, God, for these gifts. Thank you for the many ways in which you so abundantly provide for us. God, we have much to be grateful for. I pray that you would use these gifts as an investment in your kingdom. God, help us to be faithful stewards of all that you bless us with. Lord, I pray for this service. I pray for the preaching of the word. God, open our hearts to hear what you have for us now this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. We do have a children's message, and so I will call on the kiddos to come on up here at this time. Up, find a seat. So glad you guys are here today. I have some questions for you. Do you ever read the news? Yeah, okay. When you're looking to get news, where do you go? Outside? Okay, probably you can find the weather if you go outside. Yeah, I brought an example here. One of you that can read, what does that word say? That says news. That's right. Okay, so this is a magazine where we get news. For example, okay, we learn about what's happening in the world. You know, one of the biggest places is a newspaper, right? Okay, or nowadays newspapers aren't so popular anymore, but we go on the internet and we get our news there. I want to read for you some headlines. Okay, so this is what's been happening in the news this week: the Duke and Duchess of Sussex gave birth to a baby boy. Does that excite you guys, or do you care? Don't really care. Okay, how about President Trump's tariffs? Have you guys been reading up about that this week? Yeah? No? Okay. How about this one? You have been following, yeah. In history, that's true. Yeah. And sometimes cute babies are fun to see, too. This is a headline I saw today. Researchers have big news about broccoli. Does that interest you guys at all? Kind of interested. I didn't read the article. I'm kind of interested too, I think, a little bit. You know, sometimes we can read news and we're not really that interested in it. We don't really care. But we are reading in the book of Acts this month. And Acts is kind of like a newspaper. It's kind of like a good news newspaper. So a couple weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. Okay, can you remember what was the good news that we heard on Easter? Jesus rose again, right? Yeah, that's right. Very good. Jesus rose again. That was really good news. And we're still celebrating that. And we celebrate it every time we get together, because that's why we meet on Sundays. We remember the resurrection. And in our text, and I'm going to read these verses out of the Bible here in a little while, Paul is in a whole different country now, and he's telling the people good news. He's telling them about Jesus that rose from the dead. And specifically in there, it's that God kept his promise. If God keeps his promise, is that bad news or good news? That's very good news, right? He kept his promise to Abraham and his people all through history, and he sent Jesus to die on the cross and to rise again. Now, last week, if you were here, we talked about how that message, that good news, is for us. Okay, it means something very personally, right? Because Jesus loves who? Yep, he loves everyone, but he loves you. That means you too, right? Now today we're going to talk about how that news isn't just meant for us. It's meant for us to tell other people about too, right? Who can we tell? Who can we tell the good news? Our friends? Who else? Your cousins? That's a good one. Who else can we tell people? Who else can we tell about Jesus? Neighbors? Okay, so friends, neighbors, cousins, classmates. Can you tell each other? How about your, like, brothers or sisters? How about the people sitting next to you? Should we practice that? Okay, once you get really excited, okay, help me out with this. Yeah, and then look to someone next to say, Jesus rose from the dead. And you can shout it even, okay? And be really excited. We'll practice. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus rose from the dead. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, that's good news. Okay, a question. That's right, exactly. Yeah, not all news is bad, right? Yep. Yeah, that's important news to have, yeah. So we have, and this is a good case of that, a good example. We have good news, okay? If you guys have any other questions, you can ask me after the service, okay? So remember, we have a good news story to share. We can find it in newspapers, but we find it in here, in the Bible. And we can tell anybody we want to about it, that Jesus rose from the dead, okay? You can go sit down. Okay, before the message, let's sing together in our hymnals here. The words will be on the screen also. It's number 532 in our hymnals. Tell me the story of Jesus, 532. We are in the book of Acts again this morning, chapter 13. As I said last week, we are going to be spending this month here through the first or second week of June looking at the message of the apostles in the days and months and years immediately following the resurrection, and looking at that message in the context of different audiences. So last week was the focus, like I mentioned with the kids, on the very personal nature of this message. Okay, this good news is for you. And that's true, and it's true all the time. But this evangelical good news message isn't something that we only hear for ourselves. In God's wisdom, we have the church. There are others who have heard this good news message and who believe it. There are other Christians. And so this good news evangelical message is also for the church. And that's where we are today. Next week, we'll hear that it's for this city. And then in a few weeks that it's for the world. But I want to read from chapter 13 in Acts, like I said. And if you'll stand with me, please, out of respect for God's word, if you're able to. I'm going to read verses 15 and 16, and then skip down and read verses 26 through 33. Starting with verse 15 of Acts chapter 13. After reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." So Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, and then skipping down to verse 26, "Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second psalm, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." Father, these are your words. I am grateful to you today for your word. God, I am grateful to you for the word made flesh, for the good news that we find written in your word, and for the good news that we find manifested in flesh and blood, in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you would impress this good news upon our hearts today. Encourage us as a body of Christ with it, we ask in your name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a children's book that you may be familiar with called Love You Forever. It's sold over 15 million copies through the years, and it's about the enduring love of a mother. The story walks through the life of a mother from the moment she gives birth to a baby boy, to that child as a two-year-old toddler, to a nine-year-old boy, then a teenager, and finally as a grown-up. And at each stage in the life of that boy who became a man, in the midst of the challenges that children of those ages bring, the mother finds time to sing to her son, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." And the book ends with the mother on her deathbed, even though the book doesn't call it that, and the son coming in and then singing that song finally to his mother. One of the things that's kind of sweet about the book is the continuous message of love that the mother shares with her son. Contrast that with the Oli and Lena joke, where Lena says to Oli, "You never tell me you love me. Is there someone else?" And Oli replies, "When we got married, I told you I loved you. If I ever changed my mind, I'll let you know." Okay? For the record, Oli's wisdom is not very wise. It's good to express our love to people. It's healthy and appropriate and important for a mother, for a spouse, to continually express their love to their children or their husband and wife. The message of the gospel is good news. The message of the gospel is evangelical. That's what the word means. It means good news, like we talked about last week. And so an evangelical church is one that shares this good news message of God's word. And we don't stop doing that. We preach it and teach it and proclaim it all the time. It is the life-giving message, the fountain, the wellspring of life that never runs dry, like I read earlier in Revelation 21. In our text this morning, we find Paul with Barnabas. They are at their second stop on Paul's first missionary journey. So this is early in his ministry now, after his conversion that we studied last week. It's roughly the year 45, so about 15 years has passed since the resurrection. And they're in Antioch of Pisidia, it says, and there were a couple of Antiochs in that day. In fact, chapter 13 begins with them in another Antioch, so it can be a little bit confusing. That Antioch, where they began at the beginning of chapter 13, is in what is now Syria, which is just north of Israel. Okay? But then they sailed to Cyprus. Okay, they sailed west to Cyprus. It's an island on the Mediterranean. And then from there, they sailed north back to the mainland, eventually getting to Antioch in Pisidia, which is in present-day Turkey. So they get into town, and it's on the Sabbath day now, and they go to the synagogue. And Paul's pattern when he entered a new city was to begin his mission work in the synagogue, preaching first to the Jews there and then eventually to the Gentiles. The rulers of this synagogue knew he was there, and they asked him to come forward as sort of a guest speaker. And so Paul does just that. And then verse 26, he says, "Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation." So Paul is speaking to the Jews in Antioch, But it's important to recognize that their physical ancestry here is not the only defining mark. It's those also among you who fear God, he says. Now, if you were at Bible study last Wednesday, we spent some time discussing what the Bible means when it talks about fearing God. There's this holy fear that scares us because God's holiness, his law, it convicts us of sin. We realize we don't measure up to God's standard, and that's serious. But the Bible also talks about fear in the sense of trust and faith in God. It's a childlike fear, a humble but confident trust in our Heavenly Father. And that's what Paul is saying here. You who are trusting in God. Later in Paul's life, in his letter to the Galatians, he'll explain that in the new covenant that God made with mankind when he sent Jesus to the cross, faith makes us, Gentiles, spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham, children of promise. And really, that same promise was what the old covenant was too. I think that's one reason Paul went to the synagogues first. This good news message of salvation in Christ was for the Israelites too. It always had been. Paul is speaking to them here as the original children of promise. Now that promise includes Jew and Gentile, but we need to see here that he's not just to speak to Jews by physical ancestry. He's here to proclaim the good news to those who have had it all along. And that was part of what made how everything happened in Jerusalem to Jesus so sad. And Paul tells them that here. Those Jews in Jerusalem didn't recognize him. He was the one they had been waiting for. He was the good news they were waiting to hear, and they missed it. They didn't understand God's word, even though they thought they did, but Jesus was the embodiment of God's word. He was God's word made flesh. He was the good news in person, and they missed it because they thought the good news, they thought the Messiah, was something else. They wanted a political Messiah. They wanted a Messiah who would confirm and support their laws, their form of religion as they had twisted it from Scripture. And they missed it. They missed him. He wasn't hiding, but their selfish hearts, their sin, their unbelief had put the blinders on. There's two thoughts here that I want to spend some time with. Paul laments, and I can almost hear the exasperation in his voice. God sent us the message of salvation, but the Jews in Jerusalem didn't recognize it when that message came in person. They didn't understand that message, even though it was read every Sabbath, he says. Think about that. These weren't people who weren't reading the Bible. They were in God's word every Sabbath, but they missed it. Because they were hearing it and reading it with a twisted understanding. And they added to it. They went outside of Scripture and built their own system, their own theology, their own doctrine. Paul is addressing here the reality that God's word can be twisted by sinful humans. It can be ignored and rejected, even if it's right there for us all the time. And so the first thought is this. This is why we stay in the Word, friends. This is why we submit to the Word and not try to make it submit to us and to our will and to our ideas. It's why the Word remains, and I pray it always does, the defining voice in our lives. By the time Jesus showed up, the Jews had strayed so far from the Word that they didn't recognize the Word when he looked them in the face. It's not so different today. There was a study a few years ago that found that 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. So less than half of the people who regularly go to church read the Bible on any partially consistent basis. Over 40% stated that they read their Bible only once or twice a month. Almost 20% of those who say that they go to church regularly, almost 20% say they never read the Bible. 20% of people who call themselves evangelical Christians, that's the word we're dealing with this month. 20% of people who call themselves evangelical Christians believe there are many ways to heaven. That is not evangelical teaching of the word. And 20% is a big number. Because that's false teaching. 60% of evangelicals believe the Holy Spirit is a force and not a personal being. But that's not at all what the Bible teaches. Our gospel lesson in John 10 today was alluding to the doctrine of the Trinity. And he didn't speak specifically in there about the Holy Spirit. But the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is personal. And more than half of people that call themselves evangelical don't understand one of the most foundational teachings of what it means to be a Christian. I could go on. A lot of people and churches and pastors calling themselves evangelical do not recognize the biblical evangelical message. That's why we stay in the Word. And not just on Sundays. God has given us one another, and He didn't give us one another just for Sundays either. Here's my shameless plug for Wednesday night Bible study, okay? But it's not just that time. Many of you are involved in other Bible studies. Invite people here to those times. Gather together for meals in your homes when you can. Find someone to meet with consistently for scripture and prayer. A healthy church keeps its nose in the Word, and it encourages one another to do the same. Here's the other thought. Paul is here in this synagogue on the Sabbath. And he's saying that the words of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, were fulfilled in Jesus. In other words, the Old Testament finds its ultimate fulfillment in Christ. He is the one who the scriptures point to. I love the episode in Luke after Jesus rose and he's on the road to Emmaus with some disciples, and he reveals to them, it says, all the scriptures concerning himself, which at that time they only had the Old Testament. So he's basically just telling them about how the Old Testament talks about him. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. And I'll read them for you or talk about them here too. If you don't have your Bibles, that's fine. Okay, Deuteronomy 5 is one of the places where Moses records the Ten Commandments. Verse 12 is the third commandment. Observe the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, he says, or God says. And then verses 13 and 14 talk about the physical rest that this day is designed for. But then verse 15 gives another purpose for that day, for the Sabbath. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 5, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So part of keeping the Sabbath means remembering God's work of salvation. Part of remembering the Sabbath means remembering God's work of salvation. That's primarily actually what it's even here for. It's a day set aside to rest and to hear the good news of God's salvation. So we stay in the Word here, and when we are in the Word, we see the salvation that God has given to us. We see, we read, we hear, we believe. Good news. God's word, and God's word is ultimately and finally good news. You were a slave to sin, in bondage, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and this is how he did it. Acts 13. And though they found no guilt in him, or they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They found no guilt in him, but they hung him on a tree. And with God's mighty hand, with his outstretched arms on that cross, he delivered you from bondage. Bondage not from the Egyptians, but bondage from sin and from death. Friends, we need that news every Sunday. We need it every day. Yeah, because it's good news, but also we are confronted by pitfalls, temptations, struggles, sins every day. And I think it can be easy to fall into the trap of reserving good news for church or for Sunday or back when we were in Sunday school. I've had people tell me that the cross is the ABCs of the Christian life, and we need to move past the cross, past Christ, to know what we have to do. That's a trap. That's what the Jews did. They strayed from the promise God gave to Abraham and turned to their own laws so that when the promise came, when grace came, they didn't recognize him. God, forgive us for our arrogance. Listen to an example here of Luther's sarcasm regarding this. This is from his Large Catechism, and he's teaching on the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day, okay? He's sarcastic right away to get our attention, but then he gets very serious. This is what he says. Let me tell you this, even though you know God's word perfectly and are already a master in all things. Do you hear the sarcasm? Even though you think you know it all, listen to this. You are daily in the devil's kingdom. He ceases neither day nor night to sneak up on you and to kindle in your heart unbelief and wicked thoughts against all the commandments. Therefore, you must always have God's word in your heart, upon your lips, and in your ears. We need God's word every day. We need this promise every day because we are being attacked every day. And I don't mean to make this life sound like a miserable struggle and trial, but it is sometimes, isn't it? And even on good days, I think of the leper, of the one of the ten who was healed, who went back. Even on good days, we need to hear God good news so we can say thank you. Thank you, God, for the miracle that you have worked in my life. Paul says at the end of our text that they brought the good news of what God promised to the fathers. That was his mission, his calling as a preacher and missionary to bring good news. That's that word euangelion there from the Greek, evangelism. He was an evangelist. He brought good news, it says, of what God promised to the fathers. It's God's promise. It's the promise that was fulfilled by the resurrection. I pray you know that. But we can't just assume we know it and never speak of it like Oli. The word is, it's too good not to share with one another all the time. Like a mother's love, it's too good not to say to your children all the time. So tell your children today that you love them. Children, tell your mothers today that you love them. Whoever it is in your life that you love, mother or father or anybody else, tell them you love them. It's too good not to share. This word, this message from cover to cover is too good not to share all the time. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, and I'll close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is what he did. This was his message. He says, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved if you hold fast to the word I preached to you. See, it's the gospel message that we preach. It's the gospel message that we continue to stand on. It's the message that keeps us in Christ. It's the message that we hold fast to. This is what we preach to each other every Sunday when we meet together. This is what God has given us one another for. Paul writes, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." God bless this good news to our hearts today. Amen. Let's sing. Let's sing about the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord.